I'm going to speak this Sunday, and it's been a while actually. It's great, isn't it? I love the fact that we have so many different people who can share in our church, and they come with so many, you know, with a different style and a different flavor and a different way. And I think it's really, really good, isn't it, that we have that diversity and that sort of, yeah, willingness for people to share on Sunday. But we're going through the book of Proverbs. Now, I don't know about you, I've really, if you're doing it, I'm loving this. I'm absolutely loving it. It's not a book I've spent a long time in the past. I'd say early days, it's not too late to pick up and run with it. If you haven't yet, we've got the reading plan somewhere. Anyway, I can't find it. But we've got this little reading plan. We're only in chapter 5 or 6 at the moment. If you want to get cracking with it, get cracking with it. I'm thoroughly enjoying this. And what we're doing is we're using the Word on Wednesdays to do a bit of a longer unpacking, and the Sundays a bit of a shorter reflection. So I guess for me today, I'm going to try and be short. It's a bit like Kelly last week, you know. It's quite a challenge, isn't it? 10 minutes. today, you know, Martin kicked us off with humility on Wednesday, and it was a good word. And I would encourage you to go back. It's on our Facebook page, and you can get that through the website. What's the other one? YouTube. Have a look. But this week, I'm going to talk about diligence. And this is a theme that runs through the book of Proverbs. So if you go through it, there's a whole bundle of passages. I'm not just going to read them out, but a lot of them are about, let me just say what diligence means first. Diligence means careful and persistent work or effort. Careful or persistent work or effort. And if you go through the Proverbs, a lot of the Proverbs relating to diligence are rooted in sort of farming. So it's just like till the soil and you know, sow and then harvest. You know, it's working hard so you get a fruitful harvest. And, you know, you think about the people who would have read that first. They would have been in a farming context. They would have been surrounded by little fields. They would have had little patches of land, some of them. So it's not an unreasonable kind of image or picture to use. The other one, I just want to read this one because I really liked this one. And this one, I guess we'd be more able to sort of connect with a little bit. So in chapter 6, it talks about the ant. And so it talks about the ant. I feel like I want to break into song. What's that song? I looked at the wrong person. There's a song about an ant and a rubber tree plant. Is that right? Am I? Anyway, all my time. Yeah.
Another rubber tree plant.
There you go. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. There's no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provision in summer and gathers its food at harvest. I'm not really going to talk about that, but I just thought that was a really nice picture. And one that, you know, when we're sitting there some days and we see these little ants whizzing around, it would help us to sort of maybe see what the writer was saying there. The image in Proverbs is often about toil and about effort and the fruit that comes from that. And I think that's true, isn't it? I think sometimes, not always, but often, I've seen it in the life of the church, when we emphasize an area of our sort of life together in our ministry, if we really focus on it, and it seems almost too obvious to say, but you tend to see fruit from it. If you invest in something, sometimes it's a long-term investment, but as you invest, there's a return. And I think that's often the case, isn't it? If we invest, if we put hard work into something, we will see that the fruit of it. Me and Ben, during the lockdown, the first time round, our front garden, we hadn't touched it for 14 years. It was like, if I'd give people directions to our house. I'd say, if you're coming to our house, you pull into our street, okay, you just go, nice garden, nice garden, nice garden, nice garden, jungle. We're the jungle, okay? So I thought, right, it's time. Me and Ben, over half term, spent all week. This was early on in the year. We spent all week digging up roots and trees that we've just... Buddleia. What's that? Horrible stuff. bay trees. You know, digging out these beige trees. We just let them go. So now we've got a really lovely garden. The fruit of our labour is that you pull up to our house now, and actually it looks quite nice. All right, my next door neighbour said it looks like a show garden, Matt. Did you get that, everybody? Yeah. I want to suggest that's important, but there's almost take a step back. There's more to diligence than simply hard work, effort, and toil. I want to take a step back and talk about almost what does that diligence come from? So I was reading yesterday, or the day before, that chapter 4 of Proverbs as part of the reading plan, and I read two phrases that really captured my imagination, captured me, and I thought, yeah, these I want to talk about these this morning. The first is chapter 5. It says, take hold of my words with all your heart. Take hold of my words with all your heart. Then it says this, keep my commands and you will live. And then further down in verse 20, it says, pay attention to what I'm saying. And it says, turn your ear to my word. Pay attention to what I'm saying. Turn your ear to my words. I think there is a call here to posture and position ourselves towards God. Turning our ears to him. Taking hold of what he says with all our hearts. This is not a brief glance. This is not trying to engage in a conversation while the telly's on in the background. It drives Holly crazy when she's talking to me and I'm like, you know, that kind of split attention. This is about turning. Oh, so does anyone else do that, by the way? Not just me, Holly. She's shaking her head at me. This is about turning, positioning, posturing ourselves towards our God. This is about face to face, isn't it? It's about face to face, the invitation of the cross. This is the most amazing invitation. The invitation of the cross is for us to be face to face with the God who created the universe and loves us more than we can imagine. The invitation of the cross to be face to face. He comes and makes his dwelling within us. The invitation of the cross. The invitation to each one of us here in this room, each one of us watching online this morning. Face to face connection with God, your creator and loving heavenly father, creator and carer of this universe. Here's an amazing thing. You know, we may struggle to be attentive toward him. But he does not struggle to be attentive towards us. Listen to these wonderful words, familiar to some of us, I'm sure. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle as far on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. He's attentive to us. Isn't that wonderful? I love this quote by C.S. Lewis I read this week. We may ignore, but we can nowhere evade the presence of God. I'll say that again. We may ignore, but we can nowhere evade the presence of God. The world is crowded with him. That's a very different way of looking at it, isn't it? Normally we're saying, oh, the world, you know, the world is crowded with him. He's there. If we choose to seek him. Yes, the world is crowded with all sorts of stuff that we don't want to be seeking. But God is there. And if God is in everything, In every moment, surely there's something of his presence to be grasped in every moment, yes? We turn our ears, we off, you know, do you know what I mean? There's a posturing ourselves to hear and to encounter him. Let me finish this quote. The world is crowded with him. He walks everywhere incognito, and the incognito is not always hard to penetrate. It's good, isn't it? Then listen to this. And I think this is my takeaway for today. All right? The real labor is to remember and to attend. The real labor is to remember and to attend. Does that make sense? To remember and to attend to his 24/7 presence with us and in us. In fact, he carries on to come awake still more, remain awake. Isn't that a good quote? What we're talking about here is almost the step before diligence. It's what fuels and motivates our diligence. It's what our attention, our toil flows out of God. It flows out of our relationship with God, Christ, his will and purposes for us and his creation. What he wants for us and for his creation. Maybe the word for this kind of taking hold of with all our hearts and turning our ears to him, which we read in 4 of Proverbs. Maybe the word is devotion more than diligence. About a devotion to him. Surely when we devote ourselves to something, to someone, doesn't it change our attitudes and actions? Doesn't it? What we do flows out of our devotion, doesn't it? So the starting point of our diligence is our devotion. What are we devoted to? I know this a little bit more to it than this, you know, but it's hard to be diligent in something when you don't really care about it. It's hard to be diligent in something when you don't really care about it. And I know there are times when this is required of us. And I think that's part of the call of Proverbs. If we had more time, we'd unpack this aspect of diligence in Proverbs. There is something about, you know, sort of being committed to stuff, even though we don't, you know, we're diligence when we don't really want to be diligent. I see in Colossians, it says there, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. Now that's a challenge sometimes, isn't it? But that's not really what I'm kind of talking about today. It's almost a conversation for another time. This is about diligence coming out of devotion for the Lord. I think that is linked to that. But anyway, let me just talk about briefly about what we read earlier in lockdown. When I think the Lord put before us this passage from Acts 2, the early church, what they devoted themselves to. What they were diligent in. It says this. He says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. I would say the word of the Lord. They devoted themselves. They were diligent in it. And then it goes on to say, to fellowship one another. There was a devotion to one another. They devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. I don't think it was the act of breaking the bread. I think it's what it symbolized and represented. They devoted themselves to Christ and his resurrection and making sure that that was fully part of every aspect of their lives. They devoted themselves to that. And then finally, they devoted themselves to prayer because prayer changes things and prayer matters. And God has given us this gift. And it's been underutilized in the history of the church in many, I think. And we're just learning what happens when we devote ourselves to this thing that God has given us. This is what happened when they devoted themselves to these things. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. I long to see wonders and signs as part of our everyday existence, don't you? This came out of a devotion to those things. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Fellowship. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. People looking on saw something really good when they devoted themselves to these things. And the Lord added to their number daily. Our challenge, and this is a challenge, and the reason it's a challenge is because we have to battle with the other things vying for our attention and devotion. From the minute we wake up, we are battling, I believe, often, for the things vying for our attention and our devotion. Our worship. So I think it's why really important that we talked about idolatry over the summer. Okay? But the thing that we need to do is go back what it says at Proverbs 4 when it says there, turn your ear to him, turn your heart to him and incline your ear to him. That's the starting point for this devotion and the diligence that comes out of it. Seek him face to face with God, his presence in every moment, in every part of our lives. This is our privilege to experience and encounter this. It's part of our inheritance. It's part of our right as children of God to live in his presence day by day. And we need to be diligent in seeking that. Now, I want to kind of say that sometimes that takes a bit of hard work. And I'm sort of almost a little bit nervous because what we like to do is say, well, you know, we can rest in the Lord. And we can. And so much of the new and you know, the journey of the Israelites in the Old Testament is finding that place of rest. And there is something very powerful about being at rest. And when our hearts come into align with him and we experience his saving grace and we come into that relationship with him, isn't that a wonderful rest that can come over us and we can walk in that rest? But as I said already, there's a real battle to walk in that. Because there are so many things vying for our attention and vying for our devotion. So what I want to say is this, sometimes we have to be diligent in walking out our devotion. Hebrews 6 says, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. I want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end, so that what you hope may be fully realized. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. And then 2 Peter 3. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. I think that's just two verses of many that talk about this need for diligence in us as we work out our devotion to God. God is not some hard taskmaster hiding away, making it really difficult for us to find him. He's not. But he calls us to devote ourselves to him and be diligent in our seeking after him. And then the God who is generous and present meets us. And then we understand things like rest and work and worship and servanthood and generosity and humility. We'll see his kingdom breaking in our lives and in the lives of those that we love and minister to, because we're walking with him. Pray together. In these moments, we lift our hearts to you. That's all of who we are. That's our affections, our motivations, our passions. We lift those to you. And we turn our ears to you. We posture and position ourselves to hear your word. We just say, by your Spirit, come and flood and refresh every single part of who we are. We acknowledge before you, Lord, that there are parts of our lives that are still not under your lordship, your rule and reign. We just say, come, Holy Spirit, help us now, lead us, take us deeper and further in our devotion and love for you. Show us what diligence looks like. Show us the things that need to go and the things that need to come. Show us the areas of our lives where we've been wrestling and battling, some for a number of years, that actually you're just saying, I want you to be diligent in this. I want you to just be diligent in praying into this, laying this at the altar, and press in. Amen.